Welcome to the Phoenix Mystery School and another episode. Today, I'm going to be talking about why affirmations, for the most part, don't really work and what you can use instead to make these affirmations actually be beneficial and worthwhile and actually work long term. So when I began my spiritual journey, I loved affirmations. I had so many of them just pasted around my room and on the mirror, and I loved saying them. It was like a boost of positivity for me in the beginning when I really just first started my journey of self-love, self-discovery, self-reflection. But what I came to learn through doing manifestations and, or not manifestations, sorry, affirmations. And sorry, this is all through, you know, my perspective. I'm not saying that I'm 100% right. If they work for you, then that is amazing. And I'm so happy for you. But for me, they only worked for a short amount of time. Initially, it was a boost of positivity in the beginning when I really needed it. But it wasn't actively changing anything in my subconscious. It was helping me consciously to try and think about things a little bit. But I noticed if I didn't say them, then I still didn't feel good. So over time, I'm like, well, is there anything that I can do so that actually saying these sticks in the body? And what I came to realize many, many, many years later, and actually giving up completely on affirmations, is that our subconscious mind is a very tricky place. Our subconscious likes to hold on to many things, like our fears, our traumas, our emotional storage, and so many other things. So for example, consciously, you may not think that you don't like yourself. Subconsciously might be a completely different story. And when I was sitting there in the mirror saying, I love myself, you know, and I know that I am powerful and all of these things, sure, it felt good momentarily, but that feeling left quite quickly. And the reason being is because in my subconscious mind, underneath the surface, in the place where we often want to ignore, not go, in there, I actually hated myself. I had so much self-loathing because of all of my negative experiences. I didn't believe I was powerful. I didn't believe I was worth being loved. I didn't believe that I could ever love myself. And it's still something that to this day, I'm really working on acknowledging. So when I realized this, and by going through some other courses, I started to realize through some guidance and just my own ahas, is that I had to reframe these affirmations differently, because you could say them until you're blue in the face, but if your subconscious mind doesn't believe the affirmation, it's not going to take root. It's not going to hold in your system. It's not going to shift anything, and it's not going to be supportive long-term for the work that you are actively doing. So I'm talking to all these self-reflective people here who are becoming more conscious, which is being more self-aware, which is taking personal responsibility for your life and understanding where you are, that life is happening for you, not to you, right? And that's just like a quick little touch on that. There's so much more to it. I'm not here to victim shame anybody, because I've been through the ringer myself and I understand what it's like to go through many of these experiences and just feel defeated and hopeless. So what I started to learn, and you'll probably see it in many places now because so many leaders are understanding this themselves, is that when you say affirmations, if you don't 100% believe it in every fiber of your being, they're not going to take root. So what can you do instead? So for some of my affirmations, like I love myself, I actually had to word it, I'm learning every day to love myself more. Do you hear the difference between I love myself and I'm learning to love myself more each day? Your mind can get on board with the fact that you're learning something new about yourself. Your mind can get on board with saying, yeah, I am learning. I am starting these steps. I am doing this. But when you say something like I love myself, and in the subconscious, you really hate yourself, the subconscious is saying BS. That is not true. I don't believe you. And it's really hard because we live in a place where we're being, you know, plastered with affirmations everywhere. And again, they're not bad. It's just sometimes we need to make some adjustments so that the affirmations actually suit us for where we are. Maybe eventually when you're done learning and you really do believe it, maybe then you can go back to the affirmation of I love myself and just feel really good about it, but also because it's sticking because of the work that you've already done. Affirmations are not going to do the entire work for you. They are a supportive tool, in my opinion. They can really help get the gears going when they're written in a way that lands for you. They can help you sustain actions that you're taking that are in alignment with your affirmation. So one thing I would like you to think about with affirmations is to actually be more intentional with them. Don't just say them just because. Don't be empty with it. Actually have some sustenance and meaning to it. Make it a ritual. It could be 5 minutes, sure, but when your intention is really strong, these are the things that are really going to take root for you, especially when you word them in a way that's believable to your entire body-mind system. So for me, when I say affirmations, one, I like to do it in the mirror because I'm looking at myself, I'm looking in my own eyes, I'm connecting with my own soul at that level. I'm not disassociating. I like to light Palo Santo. I like to light candles. I like to make it its own thing so that it feels really good to me. So for those of you that are a little bit more introverted, more internal like me, doing something that involves deeply connecting with yourself in a way that just feels really good is a great way to use affirmations. But if you're more of an external type person, where you like to be around people, you could do it as a group activity. That would be really fun. And it can also be amplifying as well. Like if you're very extroverted and you feel lit up by being with people, and if you're around people that are similar to you and they like doing these things, you can do it together in a group. So those are a couple different options because most people think everyone has to just be on their own to do this. But it really depends on where you are in the spectrum of introversion or extroversion. I like to call it internal, external. You know, we all have some part of that. I know everyone can say, well, we're all both. Sure, but some people lean more to one side or the other. So honoring that, when you do these practices and self-care, that you don't always have to do them alone. You can incorporate them into many different things. So I'm curious, to those listening, who actually really likes doing affirmations? Did you have a similar experience to me, to where they worked short term and then you needed something else? But also think about, what was your level of intention with your affirmations? Were you intentional? Were you just willy-nilly picking things because, sure, that sounds good to do? And again, no judgment if that's what you've done, because I know I've done it. Like, I just want to heal. So I'm just going to choose all these affirmations and not give them the proper time and space for it to actually reverberate into my system. So other than having those aspects of it, it's really important to really just honor yourself. To honor that path in every stage that you're in. And I share my experience because if I can save you a little bit of time doing the work that you're doing and expedite it, that is why I'm here. I've spent the last 12 years in healing sessions and learning so many modalities and working through my own stuff that if I can share some experiences that can help, you know, propel you a little bit faster than what I did it in, then fantastic. But just remember to be intentional. And sometimes I like to choose the affirmation that's a little bit triggering for me and kind of reword it in that way where it makes sense, like I am learning or I'm starting to believe, you know, those types of things. or I'm understanding more and more that I am powerful and I have choices. Because that was the other one for me, is that I, for so long, especially as a kid, I felt like I didn't have a choice. I just had to go along with things. And that was a pattern that happened, oh my gosh, up until probably 4 years ago. Maybe 3 years ago. I started to notice it in a huge way. Feeling like I didn't have a choice, just had to make everyone else happy. You know, it's kind of like the people pleaser, which is also a whole other subject of where usually when we people please, it's because we want to get something out of it. And we don't consciously think of it that way, but we understand through experiences and conditioning that, hey, if I'm obedient or if I'm silent about things, guess what that gets me? That gets me love and acceptance. So then we learn that there's a reward to people pleasing and overgiving and overexhausting ourselves. But then we become resentful. We become angry at this vicious cycle that we've also had a turn in creating. It's not just about the people taking. It's about setting proper boundaries. And I know that can be a little hard to hear as well. This is coming from a recovering people pleaser, you know. It took so long to hear that and allow it to land in my brain and in my mind. I started to realize that I need to figure out how to set boundaries appropriately and where it's not hurting other people, where it's not trying to force other people to change certain things. It's more of a collaboration, right? Asking someone if they would be willing to compromise on something that might be hurtful to you and finding a middle ground. That's all boundaries is finding a middle ground that works for both parties. And that's something that we're not often taught. So it's really important that boundaries aren't always one-sided. We try to renegotiate the terms of either a friendship, relationship, business, and try to find where it works. And you know what? Sometimes it won't work. Sometimes you need to step away. But all in all, that is usually the process that we need to take to figure that out. If it's in alignment. If it is, we will respect other people's wishes. We will respect other people's boundaries. We will find a middle ground. And likewise, as long as it's honoring both people, right? So affirmations, they can be really supportive, really helpful, as long as you're intentional. And like I said, I like to choose potentially triggering ones and not overly triggering. I know that word can be overly used, but something that brings discomfort. And the reason why, so I should replace triggering with discomfort, actually. And the reason why I would choose an affirmation that actually instills some discomfort is because I know it's going to help me grow. If it wasn't going to help me grow, there would be zero discomfort. Anytime that we're growing outside of our comfort zone, we're going to feel discomfort. And that's where the transformation is. That's where the magic is really diving into where the discomfort is there. But we're so programmed to think that any sense of discomfort means it's wrong, means it's out of alignment, you know, that whole new buzzword. It means that it's not right for us if it doesn't always feel good. And that's the thing. Yes, creating boundaries need to feel good for both parties, but sometimes they're going to stretch us a bit. Doing things for your business ultimately has to feel good in its structure, but also a little discomfort as well, because it's going to help you grow. Like, for example, in my business, I have a structure that I really love that honors me and my energy, but putting out a high-level mentorship is terrifying. So there's parts of it that feel so good to me, and then there's the other part that is terrifying to release something like that into the world. Does it mean it's wrong? No. Because if you weren't stretching yourself in some capacity, in some way, you wouldn't be growing. And most of us here are conscious now. We want to grow. We want to evolve. We want to be better versions of ourselves. So this is where we get to get comfortable in where we're uncomfortable and have a high willingness for change. Most of us don't want change. We want things to stay the same. I get it. You know, with some of my stuff going on, I need routine. I do. I don't like last minute changes. Absolutely not. But life happens. And as long as it's not 24/7 change creating a lot of chaos all the time, last minute changes can actually be quite fun. As someone like me who's not all that spontaneous, but I'm learning to be. I'm learning to step out of that discomfort or that comfort zone into the discomfort, right? And this is where I get to use affirmations for that too. I'm learning that once in a while I do like to be spontaneous. I am feeling that I am more adventurous, that I am able to sustain happiness, that happiness is my core, harmony is my core, right? Like, you can make any affirmation you want, and that's the fun thing. In the beginning, I used to, you know, Google and search for affirmations. But now that I know myself really well, and a lot of you probably really know yourself really well too, you can start to think of, okay, what are some of my big pain points? Is it around loving others? Is it around trusting others? For me recently, another one that I did was around men. And the affirmation was, I am learning that there are so many amazing men in this world who are loving and protective, and a focus on all the good qualities. So it's really interesting to have those affirmations, because what you search for energetically, you will find. I used to have like a barrage of like weird, creepy guys. And women too, okay? It's not just a gender thing, but I'm a woman, so here's my experience. But I used to have a barrage of all that weird stuff going quite often. And I used to think, oh, this reminds me of this person from my past, or that person who couldn't be trusted, or who was a creep, or someone who, you know, abused me in some capacity. So internally, I was saying, men at all can no longer be trusted. The only person you can trust is you. How toxic is that view? And I get it, though. Like, I have compassion for myself. I understand why. I get it. But damn, that cynicism is not good for growth. And I had to make friends with that cynicism because it's come in cycles. Even recently, I've had my mental health dip down completely. I've had a hard couple of weeks because I am human. And just because I'm in this position doesn't mean I'm 100% healed and magical 24/7. That does not happen. I'm human. I have dips like everyone else, but I have tools and I bounce back a lot quicker than I used to. But I started to see around so many incredible gifted men who were just nice. They're not expecting anything from you. They just want to share their wisdom. And I love that. I love learning from the masculine. I love what they have to say. I love their perspective. So I started stepping into that role more into the trust, and more into the love of learning from them and being supported by them and having that straight boundary that, yes, we can connect, be protective and loving, but there's nothing sexual that's expected there. Nothing. It's just friendship. And I've met the most incredible men, starting with my own current boyfriend, Greg, which that was what kind of blasted all of this stuff wide open for me. Because I thought I was good. I was healed. Things are great. I'm ready to start dating again. Ha ha ha. You can only heal so much on your own. And I'm telling you this. If you're looking for divine union, you can only heal so far. But when you're in union like that with someone, That's when you can go deeper. And I've been really, really fortunate that he's been able to handle me at some of my lowest of lows, of my issues with trust and issues with so many things because of my past. And I didn't realize how much it was still under the surface, and it came blowing up to the top. But again, so fortunate that he's been able to hold me and talk with me and figure things out with me. He's not responsible for my healing. He's just absolutely not. But the fact that he can support me through my process, the times that I've gone in for EMDR and active memory techniques and all these things that I've been deeply diving into because I want to be the best, most available version for him. As my partner, as the person I want to do life with, I want to be the best for him and for our family. So I've been going at it hard. And it's been wonderful because I've met other men in my circle who have opened up to me about things, who have taught me so many things, who trust me to work with them in that capacity of energy work. I've always had a lot of men in energy work that have always been extremely respectful, but it's just nice to actually see it in the external world too, where men are actually showing up in such a good way. And I'm open to receiving it. That's the other thing. You need to be open to receiving it for it to even show up. Again, all hard things to hear because I would have said 10 years ago, but I am so open to receiving. That's all I want. But subconsciously, I was shooting myself in the foot every day. Hence where I ended up where I did 4 years ago. So I've been continuing with this affirmation every single day, and I've met some incredible graphic artists. I've met some incredible tradesmen, other spiritual men doing healing work who are very grounded and still very masculine, because I've seen a lot of very more of the feminine spiritual man that just feels interesting. But that's another topic for another time. But I've just met so many incredible people that are doing like homesteading, who are developing land that is sustainable and off-grid and completely powered by everything around it and not the city. You know, like there's just so many cool things that they are doing, which is why I never demonize men, because they're putting a lot of structures into place. Not saying women aren't, but women also do a lot of amazing things too. But the thing is, it's not just one or the other. We all need to work together. So I've been seeing it in such a huge way, what's actually out there. So whatever you're programming your lens to be, that is usually what you will see. And I've heard it so many times over the last 10 years, and it just never landed the way that it did within the last 6 months. Like, I've gone so much deeper into that. You can hear something, but it lands in different energetic spaces of you, depending on where you're at and what you're ready to receive from it. So I've been taking responsibility for my lens of life and starting to apply things in a big way. So I'm seeing my external world shift. I'm seeing a lot of similar people and being surrounded by that, which has felt amazing. So these are just my little tips and advice for when it comes to affirmations, is to really put it in a way that your subconscious mind can hear, to be very intentional. Write it down, have it visible. Make it a ritual. Make it mean something to you. Find one that creates a little discomfort, or make one that makes you a little uncomfortable. Because you want to transform. You want to support yourself in the process. But that doesn't mean that the affirmation is going to change everything for you. Affirmations are a great tool, and sometimes that's all what some people need. But for me, I needed that with a mix of energy work, some grounding, nervous system rebalancing as well, because I need a variety of things. Some people just need one or two really good things that work for them, and that works for them. So if that's you, keep doing that. Be consistent with that thing that really works. For me, I need at least 5 different things. I need variety for it to help shift my frequency. So if you're a variety person too, don't make yourself feel bad for that. So many people say, no, you're spreading your energy too thin. But some of us are hardwired for this. This is why sometimes I might have 3 affirmations that I'm working with. And I'll rotate through them I'll give them all the time and capacity that I need and they need. So I'm curious what affirmations you have done that has worked for you. I've given you a couple samples of the ones that I've used, but I would also like to hear from you. Which affirmations have you used? And in Spotify, you can leave them in the comments. Or if you feel like sharing to me directly, you can email me at trinitysage333@gmail.com. Always love getting your guys' feedback. And if you have questions, please feel free to ask. But I hope this is helpful for you with affirmations, and hopefully you're not too discouraged by them and you can make them in a way that works, because I was discouraged for a long time too, to be honest. So do what works for you, but these are just some of my tips. Thank you so much for listening, and I hope you have a wonderful rest of your day, and I will not see you, but I'll hear you on the next episode of the Phoenix Mystery School.